You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Bonjour, boat bills on the boardwalk, bowling for boas, bonus bonito, and Bonnie Clabber. This is Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. Today's show is episode 222, and of course, I'm your humble host, Karen, and these people are my triad of trivia tricksters who treasure a triskaidekaphobia.
Hey, I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
And I'm Chris. That was the spooky intro that I didn't do in the Halloween show. I'm just keeping everybody on their toes.
You might ask, in my alliteration today, I mentioned something that is a Bonnie Clabber. A Bonnie Clabber.
Okay.
It is a type of sour milk, like a sour cream yogurt. And it's a treat that people eat and with fruit and spices. It comes from a Gaelic term, but it is what old-timey people used as a leavening agent when they bake. So, you know, sometimes we bake, you add buttermilk or you add other like acidic dairy products to help, you know, leaven your baked goods. And wouldn't you know it, it's where the popular baking powder brand here in America, Clabber Girl, got its name from.
That is definitely the first, last, and only place I hear Clabber used is Clabber Girl.
It sounds like a disease. All right, time to jump in into our first general trivia segment, Pop Quiz Hotshot. I gotta be careful now with these random trivia pursuit card because I've gotten, I think maybe two people have told us on Twitter that their version of Trivial Pursuit is the same. And as, you know, they're playing at home with their friends, they're getting the questions that we're asking on the show.
We're ruining family game night.
No, I think it's just incentive to listen.
All right, here we go. I got a random Trivial Pursuit card. You guys have your barnyard buzzers. Let's answer some questions. Blue Wedge for geography. Mm-hmm. The Victoria Falls are located on the border between Zimbabwe and which other southern African country? Oh, that was Dana.
Is it Tanzania?
No.
I was gonna guess. I hope they border.
Chris.
South Africa.
No, not that. Dang. That
was a good guess.
You know? I didn't want to leave it unsaid. If it had been.
Yes.
You know?
We'd all feel silly.
You're right.
It's between Zimbabwe and Zambia. Zazaza. Victoria Falls. That's our mnemonic.
I like it.
Ooh, pop culture, Pink Wedge. Name three of the five famous female models that appear in George Michael's Freedom music video.
Wow.
Dana.
Linda Evangelista.
Ding, 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 ding.
Is Naomi Campbell in it?
Yes. Ding, 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 ding.
Is Cindy Crawford in that?
Ding, 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 ding. You got
okay,
three out of five. Wait,
keep going, keep going.
Christy Turlington.
Ding, 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 ding.
Wow.
Let's see, is Claudia Schiffer? No.
No, I've never heard of this fifth one.
Who is
Tatiana Patitz.
What's
her name? I'm sorry, I didn't catch that, Karen. What was it?
Tatiana Patitz.
Huh.
Okay, maybe.
Stop laughing. Okay. It's not right.
Tatiana, it's like Tatiana, T-A-T-J-A-N-A. Tatiana. Then Patitz.
All right.
It checks out.
Okay, maybe Patitz. Maybe
math seems to work out.
Patitz. Okay.
We'll go with that. I mean,
that sounds more right. Tatiana Patitz.
Yeah. Tits.
Who are we to say?
Okay. Moving on. Yellow Wedge. Which U.S. space mission marked, quote, one giant leap for mankind when it landed the first humans on the moon?
Oh, geez. Okay. Oh. Embarrassing. Oh,
man, weren't we just talking wait, about this,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So which U.S. space mission, basically?
Apollo.
So, Apollo, yeah. man, I feel this come up so many times.
The number
is... Okay, one of the Apollos.
What's Apollo 7? What was the one with Tom Hanks?
13. Because things went bad.
Oh, no, things
yeah,
went...
Yeah,
I like
11. Apollo 11?
7?
Apollo 7-11. Apollo 11, you are correct.
Okay. It's 11. Okay.
All right. 10 years in. 10 years in, we have a way to remember that.
Well, which is what?
7-11? It's the bad one. It's 13.
Okay, but 7-11, but not the 7. The 11th part.
No, we're going backwards now. We're undoing the progress.
Well, how about this? Ready? Here's the mnemonic. One... small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind.
One and one, 11.
Oh, that's good. Right, I was going to say lucky number 7-11. So not
that just introduces the 7 again. Yeah.
Not to be confused with one and one makes two. So it's not Apollo 2.
Apollo's in moon. So
it's like the people who come up with a crazy mnemonics to remember where they parked. Now you can just take a picture on your phone.
Yeah, I should just take pictures on Wikipedia with my phone.
I used to have to draw a little sketch. It took so much longer.
Of course. It's like a treasure map. All right. Purple Wedge, which dance style is not a street dance? Multiple choice.
Okay.
B-boying. Uh-huh. Hustle, locking, or popping? That was Dana very confidently.
Hustle.
Correct. Hustle. Yeah. Do the
That's
hustle.
A disco. Yeah,
right,
it's
exactly,
an indoor
yeah.
dance.
It is an yeah. indoor dance, not street dance. Green Wedge for science. Which shape is used to illustrate similarities in a Venn diagram?
Which?
Oh gosh.
I mean, I
wow, yeah.
Dana, please.
Okay. Circles.
Correct.
Yeah. All of us were just like immediately like, okay, wait, what's the deep answer here?
The similarities are where the circles overlap.
Like a not a crescent.
No, it's the thing that would be the other parts that aren't the crescent. What's the
inverse
called?
Of a crescent.
It's like an eyeball shape, right? Like an almond.
Yeah.
I wonder what that word is. I bet there's a word for that.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some word defined as like, you know, the intersection of two circles where the angle is less than 180 degrees. Blah, blah, blah.
They all have names.
Yeah.
Let's just call it the vertical eyeball.
The eyeball, yeah.
All right, last question, Orange Wedge. Which Olympic athlete was known as the world's fastest woman for breaking records in both the 100 and 200 meter dashes? Wow, Dana on a roll today.
I don't know. Maybe this is going to break. Is it Flojo?
It is Flojo. Her full name? Do we know?
Florence Joyner.
Florence Griffith Joyner.
Griffith Joyner.
Yes. Colin is our track.
Yes.
Track MVP. Woo.
And related through marriage to Jackie Joyner Kersee, I believe.
Oh. Yeah.
I believe the Joyner family there is the same family.
They are joined.
Yes. Oh, nice.
Jointly
nice.
Fast. Yeah.
There's a movie about her life coming out, right? Isn't it
really?
like Tiffany Haddish, I think, or somebody gonna be in the Flojo?
Oh, as Flojo. Yeah. And we have another sports fact. Yay! This one is from our Purple Patreon pledge from Colin Storm from Thousand Oaks, California. And he said, like Good Job Brain Colin, I know a ton about sports. And I also have a PhD in communication and teach communication studies at Pepperdine University. So he's got a stumper for you. Well, for all of all us, right. But really for you, Colin.
Oh,
and a cool name, Colin Storm. That's my superhero name. Yeah.
His question is, who was the first openly Black African-American player in baseball history? Hint, it is not Jackie Robinson.
Mm-hmm. So they're saying openly Black because some people were Black, but... didn't say that they were black. Maybe. They were passing.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. And we're not counting this guy, but technically there was a player. His name is William Edward White, recognized as the first black player, but he passed as white.
That's a good one, man. Baseball, yeah. Definitely not my deepest area. I mean, the two names I know with kind of players who broke the color barrier were Jackie Robinson and Larry Doby, but I'm guessing it was somebody prior
before
to that.
So the answer is Moses, quote, Fleetwood Walker was the first Ooh. Black player that many historians have recognized.
That's okay. A good one. That's a good one to file away.
Yeah.
What year Fleetwood generally? Mac. Do you know?
So Moses Fleetwood Walker played baseball around turn of the century. So late 1800s.
Okay.
After his baseball career, he actually became a pretty successful inventor.
I wonder what he invented.
He invented and patented outer casing for ammo, for artillery shells.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
What a storied career.
I thought it was going to be outer casing for like a baseball or something. Where I'm like, okay,
a sausage.
That
was just crap. I was like, oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, sausage. Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
All right. This episode is episode 222. 222. I don't know if we did anything for 111, but today we're going to do something special for 222. We're going to celebrate things that are twos, pairs, duos, doubles, seconds, and all of that. So this week it takes two. Two. Fun small fact, 222 is what you call a strobogrammatic number, which is a number that reads the same upside down on a calculator.
Okay.
I was like, does it? Yeah. Okay, all right.
No, on a calculator, yes.
I was like, this seems very font dependent.
Yeah.
You know, other numbers, 1961. You know, 818. Turns out real purist mathematicians don't really put any significance in this because it is font dependent. It's not like anything about the numbers. It's just how you write it.
The discovery of this flipped Newtonian physics right on its ass. All right, now, Karen, yes, you had reminded us back in 2015, episode 168 was titled It Takes Two. One, now retroactively known as It Takes Two.
Yes,
one.
Yes.
Part one.
And we talked about, did a segment about words with consecutive pairs of double letters, such as not just words with double letters, but consecutive pairs of them, like balloon has L-L-O-O next to each other. We landed on my favorite and possibly yours, which is a word for the person who cleans out the corner where the raccoon lives, which is a raccoon nook keeper.
That's how many is that?
Six pairs. Six consecutive pairs. C-O-N-O-K-E. Yeah.
Wow.
Raccoon nook keeper. Good one. Good word to know. May be considered a word or not.
Not a real word, everybody.
Yeah. No. Anyway, we already did that. But I wanted to revisit the idea of double letters for this revisitation of the double show. So here we go. It's another quiz about English language words that this time... every word will begin with a pair of double letters.
Right.
Begins with a pair of identical letters. Now, you may have some questions as to whether or not these are words. The overriding legal authority here is going to be Scrabble. Every word that we're talking about here is a legal Scrabble play.
Okay.
As a solving aid, I'm going to do these in order of how many points you would get if you played these in Scrabble, just to help you out a little bit here.
Okay.
Even though it may not help you out that much. Do pay attention, like a crossword puzzle, to the precise definition that I'm giving you, such as verb tenses or things of that nature.
Okay.
To get to the exact right form of the word, I will firmly reject anything that is not the exact answer that I'm looking for. So everybody get your barnyard buzzers ready. Reminder that each of the answers will begin with one pair of duplicated letters, a double letter pair. And here we go. For 6 points, a three-letter word, an expression of discomfort.
6 points.
Dana.
Ah, A-A-H.
It is not A-A-H. This is more like an like a little bit of pain, like when you get up and... Colin.
OOH.
So okay. So the word is oof.
Oof. Of course, of course.
Let me double check with some of these because, like, could be, could be.
I feel
be,
like but H is 4 points. Isn't H 4?
If there could be an alternate answer, we can always come back and check it. For another 6 points, this one is a four-letter word, an expression of dismay. Like, I've done something wrong. Dana?
Oops, O-O-P-S.
Yes, oops. Oops, oh no. Final 6 point word. This is an expression of deliciousness. This is two letters. Colin. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. M-M.
Wow, that's playable.
Indeed. Yeah. That is a playable Scrabble word. Yep.
Such a good way to make your mom upset.
That happens to me too. Yeah. You can't play Words with Friends or Scrabble with your parents because they think you're cheating. And you're like, no, this is how the game is played.
You need to memorize these two letter words.
It's true, though. Learning those two-letter combos, like, you know, really changes the game of Scrabble.
Yeah. Oh,
because,
yeah.
Like, not just because you know more words, but because you start to be able to play words not crossing other words, but parallel to other words.
That's where the points are.
That's where the points are, baby. That's right. Yeah. I think these will get a little easier as the words get longer and they become a little more...
Wordish.
Yeah, more wordy. Yeah. So moving up to 7 points, three letters, an expression of sudden fright. Dana.
Is this A-A-H?
This is not A-A-H. This is really, like, very specifically, Colin.
Okay. Eek, E-E-K.
Yeah.
Yes.
115.
That's 7 points. That's right.
Another 7 points is a four-letter word, resembling a certain fish. Dana.
You said three letters or four letters?
Four letters, resembling a certain fish.
Is it eely?
Yes, E-E-L-Y, eely, resembling a certain type of fish, that fish being the eel. 8 points now, a six-letter word, some ruminants.
Some ruminants.
Colin.
No.
Some ruminants. Six letters.
Wait. How many letters did you say? Six.
Six.
What's ruminants?
Oh.
Rumination.
Colin?
Is it llamas?
It is llamas.
L-L-A-M-A-S.
What?
Oh.
Ruminants are llamas and sheep. And those kinds of guys.
I was thinking ruminants was like rumination.
Thinking.
Like
yeah,
thinking
that's what
about
I was thinking.
Something.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Another 8-pointer. This is an 8-letter word. Which I believe means that each letter is only worth 1 point. The quality or state of being weird.
The quality or state of being weird.
Dana.
You guys are so good.
Is it ookiness?
It's not ookiness. I don't know. It's in the Adams Family song. I don't know.
You know, it's maybe it's the dictionary.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yes, the quality or state of being weird. Karen. Oh.
It's going to be some permutation of eerie, but the state of it.
Oh.
Is it not?
Eeriness.
Dana got it. Eeriness. E-E-R-I-N-E-S-S.
I wrote down all the double letters of the alphabet. And then
Karen is developing some strategies here.
Yeah. Oh, yes. This just in. It helps when you have a cheat sheet.
If I haven't answered any of them.
So who is it helping, really? Your final 8-point word, another 8-letter word as well. Tiniest. Karen.
Inciest.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Yes. That's nice job.
I mean,
yes.
There are really not a lot of letters you can double up in the beginning.
There are not, in fact.
As it turns out.
Okay, on to the 10 pointers, all right? Ooh. Exclaiming in delight or surprise. Now, it's 6 letters.
Exclaiming
in delight or surprise. 6 letters. Karen.
Ooing.
Or eyeing. Both are okay. There was much ooing and eyeing when Karen got the question right. Yes.
Maybe this cheat sheet is helping. Here we go.
Yes. Yeah, I think so. Okay, folks, for a big 15 points, hope you land that one on your triple word score, 15-point Scrabble word. It is an eight-letter word again. An African insectivore, a.k.a. the termite-eating hyena.
What?
Dana?
Is it aardvark?
It is not aardvark because you didn't listen to the Hulk. You buzzed in too early.
Aardvarks.
I'm going to read the entire question, okay, and then everyone except Dana gets a shot at the bite of the apple.
You're mean. What? Mean teacher. All right, here we go.
Okay. An African insectivore, a.k.a. the termite-eating hyena.
Termite-eating hyena. I'm not sure I know this animal.
And not aardvark. Oh.
It's an aardvark dog or something.
Yeah, it is. It is, basically.
Aard lion?
No, it's not aard lion. You're so close with aard dog. Does anybody want to take a guess? Aardwolf!
Oh, aardwolf!
Aardwolf!
I've never heard of it before.
Wow!
An aardvark means like earth pig, and aardwolf means like earth wolf.
Oh.
And they both eat insects off the ground. Hence,
The aard.
This is the most excited I've been in a really long time. I like screamed for real. Like, never heard of it before.
Up and down. You were blocked from answering. You got back with the right
one.
Got back in there.
Yep. So we got three more here for you. You guys are doing good. These are some big, big points here.
Okay.
17 points, 9 letters. Playing a repeated rhythmic bass accompaniment.
Oh.
Playing
a repeated rhythmic bass accompaniment. 9 letters. The last three of which I'm going to give you are ing. Yeah. Something.
Yeah.
Playing a repeated rhythmic bass accompaniment. Colin.
I'm going to go with Oompa-ing.
Yes! Yes! Oompa-ing!
Oh, my God.
So I guess there must be an H in there, right? That's the only way I could stretch it to 9 letters.
Yes. Oompa-ing. Yep. Wow. Oompa-ing. Scrabble legal. For 18 points, a 6-letter word. Unctuously. Dana.
Oozing.
It is not oozing, unfortunately. Unctuously.
Oh. Oozily.
Oozily.
Ah!
Oozily. Oozily.
Oozily.
Yes, yes. Finally, folks, you will score a whopping 30 points in Scrabble if you lay down this 3-letter word, a sound you might hear in the middle of the night. Karen.
Z-z-z-z.
Z-Z-Z, the sound of snoring, is a Scrabble legal word.
Which requires at least one blank, right?
Yeah.
That's true. So actually, you wouldn't get the full 30 points. So I did say that was the last one, but I do have a bonus for you.
Okay.
And okay, it is a 7-letter Scrabble official word. It is worth 14 points. It begins with double letters. It ends... with double letters.
Whoa!
And somewhere in the middle is a third pair of double letters.
No way.
And this one is an expression of extreme pain.
What if it's just 6 letters? Ah!
I mean.
You're not far off. It is a 7-letter Scrabble official word. It is worth 14 points. It begins with double letters. Ends with double letters, and somewhere in the middle there is a third pair of double letters,
and it's only 7 letters,
and it's only 7 letters,
so there's only one not
there's
double
only one there. Letter that's not doubled. This is an All expression right. of extreme pain. Colin.
Arg.
Yes, that's it.
Are you serious?
I'm absolutely serious. That is AA. R-R-G-H-H.
No Way, get out of here.
Yes. Now, it's worth 14 points, but honestly, I feel like it's worth more than that because it's at least 14 points plus your opponent loses their next turn because there's no way they're not going to challenge that if you put that down.
Yeah, exactly.
It is in there. And in fact, just remember, in fact, in Scrabble, ARGH, and what Colin said, all four of those are acceptable. Yes, the, wow. the second
that's
H
really
is where
bananas.
It really throws you
no,
off.
The yeah, yeah. ending yeah. in a 2H. That's I would be like, get out of here with that. What are you trying to pull? Yeah.
Yep. Try it on all your friends.
The other person's like, no, that's not a real word.
They're not. There's no way they're not going to challenge.
They're already so mad at you for being so insufferable the rest of the game. By that point, their spirit's broken. They're not challenging you anymore.
You got to set it up, too. Like over the two or three turns prior, you got to be like, damn H's, you know, and you just like really filled that like you're like trying to solve a
that
problem.
That you're gonna be desperate and do something crazy, so they that's should right. challenge you, but they shouldn't. It's a trick.
Chris, for fun, can we recap these words that we answered in this quiz?
It's just
so unusual to
have
to start with double letters. I mean, that's not like a medical term.
Yeah, exactly. Oosite is
going to be in there.
Right. I didn't put oosite in there. Yes, I wanted this to be common things for sure. Oof. Oops. Mmm. Eek. Eely. Llamas. Eeriness. Inciest. Ooing. Eyeing. Aardwolf. Oompaing. Oozily. And zzz. And, of course,
So earlier this year, I think I wrote a tweet on our Good Job Brain Twitter. I found out about what you call reduplicated names. Names that are repeated words or sounds. Yo-Yo Ma is a reduplicated name. What about people who have the same first names and last names? Reduplicated full names. I tweeted this out. I made a little list. There's, of course, our favorite Lando Calrissian, Billy Dee Williams. Full name is William Williams.
Oh, yes. I see.
American Idol winner Philip Phillips.
Yes, yes.
Count Von Count from Sesame Street.
Yeah, it's more of a title.
Okay. Oh, it is more of a title.
Yeah.
You know, it passes down through the family.
Yeah. I was thinking of Kris Kristofferson.
Chris Christie is also a close one. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of cultures, the format is they might not have last names. They just take their father's first name and they end up having the same first name. Yeah. And so you have a lot of names that are duplicated that way. But for this episode, I want to talk about reduplicated city names. Reduplicated city names.
Okay.
And I have three reduplicated city names that I want to talk about that have some drama going on. Of course, the first city I want to talk about is Walla Walla, Washington.
I was hoping this was going to be on the list.
Yes, we hear that a lot. It's used a lot in pop culture.
It's just fun to say. I mean,
that's why they say it every Looney Tunes. Yeah, whenever somebody's writing out and sending something, addressing something to somewhere, they're always sending it to Walla Walla, Washington.
Yeah. Yep. Walla Walla is named after the Walla Walla people, and it means many waters. And Walla Walla is home to the Walla Walla sweet onion.
Yes.
When we go to the store, we buy sweet onions. They're either Vidalia onions or they're Walla Walla sweets. And the Walla Walla sweet onion recently, I mean, within the last 10 years, was in a bit of the news. Now it's named as Washington State Vegetable.
Yeah.
This was back in 2007. After a few years of high drama, people weren't happy, especially the Washington State Potato Commission was gunning for the potato being the official state vegetable because turns out potatoes are Washington's top grossing vegetable that they grow. So they're like, well, of course our state vegetable would be the vegetable we grow the most and sell the most. But then people are like, well, when you think of potato, it's that's Idaho.
Right.
Yeah. Idaho has an iron grip on potatoes.
It's on their license plates for crying out loud.
Yeah.
So a bunch of high schoolers and middle schoolers were lobbying for their homegrown special Walla Walla sweet onion to be the official state vegetable.
Sure.
And they kept getting blocked by votes. By the counter lobbying from the Potato Commission. The Senate committee passed something. It's called the Bulb and Tuber Amendment, saying, hey, both of you guys can be our state vegetable. And people are like, no.
We will not share this.
I think the onion people, like at Thanksgiving, instead of mashed potatoes, they just got a big plate of like onions and they're just
meshed
like,
onions.
Never give an inch.
So you know what? Let me interject here for a minute. I will tell you, Karen, I don't know if you know this, but in fact, I have family roots in Walla Walla, Washington. My grandmother grew up in Walla Walla. She went to Walla Walla High School. She went to Whitman, which was a well-known college there. My mom always said that, like, the story of the Walla Walla sweet onions was that you could eat it like an apple. That
yes!
You could, you could just eat it like an apple. And I was, as a kid, I was pretty skeptical. Yeah. But at the same time, I've never done it. But yeah, we definitely grew up in our family hearing about the Walla Walla sweet onions. Absolutely. Yeah.
Turns out the Walla Walla sweet is extremely sweet because of the soil there. They do have a special way of growing so that the Walla Walla sweet is super, super high moisture and very, very low on the pyruvate scale. The pyruvate scale is like, you know, the Scoville unit for peppers. The pyruvate scale is the pungent meter.
Ooh, I love it.
For onions.
Nice.
Supposedly not pungent at all. People eat it raw, like an apple.
Colin's grandma.
I don't know if it's like to prove a point or like it really is like enjoyable. We don't know.
Eventually, the onion people won.
Yes, the onion people finally won in 2007 and now have the sole title holder for Washington State vegetable.
Somebody at the potato lobby lost their job. They really dropped the ball. It was a hot potato issue and they really let it fall.
I'm team onion. I feel like
the underdog. Too. Yeah.
The good guys won there, yeah.
All right, our next reduplicated city is Pago Pago or Pango Pango. Different ways to pronounce it. It's based on a Samoan word. It looks like Pago Pago, P-A-G-O, P-A-G-O, but it's pronounced more like Pongo Pongo. Oh. For this episode, I'll say Pongo Pongo. So Pongo Pongo is the capital of American Samoa. And in the 1990s, it was home to not one, but two major tuna fish canning companies, Chicken of the Sea and Starkist.
The tuna district.
The tuna town. We all here in Gujarat, we all live near the California coast. Historically, it's where a lot of the canning and fishing companies started, right? If we've been to Monterey, passed by Cannery Row, right? That's where all the canned seafood goods have sprung up. However, as time passed and corporations started getting bigger and they scaled up, these companies then had their eyes on having facilities elsewhere. And so in the 80s, the facilities were moved to territories like Puerto Rico and to America Samoa because the wages were cheaper. Technically part of United States, so they didn't have to pay any import taxes. Again, another thing we're talking on the show, which is avoid taxes, is the mother of all inventions. Pongo Pongo became the home of the two of the big three tuna companies. Big three tuna.
Is the third one, what's the third one? Bumblebee? Is that the
third one? Is Bumblebee. Okay. So here's where it gets interesting. In 2015, Chicken of the Sea, the company, was about to strike a deal to buy Bumblebee. So our big three is now going to become the big two.
Big tuna two.
Tuna two! And at the same time, a wholesale grocery network observed some weirdness and sued the big three tuna companies for fixing prices.
I remember reading about this. Yeah.
Yes. So now we got the Department of Justice coming in to review. And yes, the big three tuna have been colluding and have been illegally fixing prices on canned tuna.
You're telling me the people who went move somewhere to exploit cheap labor and tax laws would also collude on the prices of tuna? What?
They would get rid of sales or deals. Like, you wouldn't find bulk deals anymore. Pushing up the price by a little bit. And then here's the sneakiest thing. They made the cans smaller.
No.
Just 1 ounce smaller. Basically, sell people less tuna for more without people really knowing. The merger between Chicken of the Sea and Bumblebee was called off. Starkist pled guilty and was fined the maximum at $100 million. It's funny because we kind of think of canned tuna as kind of like an American staple post-war, you know, tuna casserole. Guess what? All three of these companies, not even American anymore. Starkist is Korean. Chicken of the Sea is Thai. Bumblebee, after this lawsuit, got bought by a Taiwanese company. So
tuna trouble.
Yeah.
And then the last reduplicated city name I would like to share is, this is so strange, it's in Canada called St. Louis du Haha. And I have to say it that way because it's H-A exclamation point, H-A exclamation point.
Oh,
which is a crazy name.
It's a great name.
Not only does it have reduplicated ha and ha in its name, it also, it's the only town in the world to have two exclamation points in its name. Yeah, St. Louis to haha, nothing to do with laughs. Sadly, that's what I thought. So what is a haha and why is it so exciting? The haha in the name. Can't believe that there's actually a word describing this. How do I describe it? I hope I can do it justice. A haha is, imagine a split level lawn.
Okay.
For example, you're walking on like a very, you know, like a hilly lawn, and you're walking, and there is a usually like a stone wall that's maybe 3 feet high, kind of like coming at your wayside.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
On top of that stone wall then becomes the bottom of the lawn of that level. Mm-hmm, so it's like a split level lawn. Okay. And that is what we call a haha, and which is a really, you know, kind of strange thing. Why do we need this type of landscape architecture feature? These things are also called deer walls. Because before the time of having lawnmowers, what they had to do is like tricksy walls or fences to try to like contain the deers that would come on property or that would eat their lawns. However,
nature's lawnmower.
But if you're like Lord of the Manor and you're looking out, you don't want to see a bunch of just random walls on your lawn. And so the haha is a way of hiding the wall so that it can basically bar from deers from coming onto different parts of the lawn that you don't want them there.
Yeah.
But then if you're Lord of the Manor, when you look out, it just looks like a big seamless lawn. Some say that it's like, oh, someone was like, ah, what a magnificent lawn. Uh-huh. Or some people say it's shortened half and half. It's half, half earth, half wall.
Half and half, right. And half.
Ha ha, half half. And so no real answer, but that's what a ha ha is a ha ha wall.
So ha ha is what you're saying to the deer.
Deer. There you go. Three tales of three double cities, reduplicated cities, Walla Walla, Pongo Pongo, and St. Louis to ha ha. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You're listening to Good Job Brain. Smooth puzzles, smart trivia. Good job, brain.
And we're back. This week we're talking about doubles.
For this show, my mind automatically went to celebrity couples, but I know I've done it more than once now. So I was like, okay, I can't do that again. And then I was like, well, what about platonic couples? Oh, what about like people and their pets? And then I started brainstorming people and pets, and I was like, these are all cartoon characters. So this is an animated pets quiz where I'm going to give you a fictional animal and you give me the name of their human. They're all animated and they all have a person. It's not like two animals that are friends. One is a human or a humanoid, and the other is definitely an animal.
A pet.
Okay.
Animal.
A pet. Okay. Okay. Yes. Right. Like if the animal got sick, the human would take it to the vet. That kind of relationship. This is going to be a buzz-in quiz. I wasn't going to tell you what the animal was, but I think that'll be the hint if you guys get stuck on the name. I'll give you the name. Okay?
Okay.
How about Garfield? Everybody.
John Arbuckle.
Arbuckle.
Yeah.
I think you all drifted off of me on that one.
Yeah, they did. They did, Chris. I think you're right. But how about Gromit? I think Colin I heard first.
Wallace.
Yeah. Dino. Chris.
Fred Flintstone.
Yes. How about Gary?
Gary.
This Chris.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yeah, Gary is SpongeBob's pet snail. What about Tweety Bird? Who?
Oh,
Tweety
Bird. What's your name?
What's her name?
Oh, did you say Chris. Tweety Bird? Yeah. Granny.
Yeah, Granny is her name.
Okay, all right. I was like, Granny something. I should have.
I looked. Yeah. I was like, is she Granny Mabel? But she's just Granny. How about Azriel? Karen.
Gargamel.
That's right, from the Smurfs. What about Crypto with a K? Karen.
This is Superman Clark Kent.
That's right. His dog.
Wait, hold on. Isn't it weird that his dog is called
Crypto?
Krypton is the planet he's from.
Why is he allergic to the thing that's named planet?
Well, only under a yellow sun, Karen. And it's...
Wait, really?
Yeah, look, to be clear, I am not a Superman a super fan, but yeah, no, that's part of the mythology, right? It's like the red sun, the yellow sun, and the different kryptonite that they there's like red and green and blue and
he's allergic to the green one. But I'm not crazy that doesn't really make a lot of sense, right?
Yeah, that he's allergic to his home planet. Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like it. Yeah. Okay.
How about this one has two names. They're unchanged name is Cringer, and then they become Battle Cat. Chris.
Prince Adam and He-Man.
Oh,
that's
course.
Right. That's the tiger. Yes. How about Lady Bird?
Oh,
Colin.
Geez.
Who is that?
That is the Hill family. Hank Hill.
Yeah.
King of the Hill, yeah.
His dog. Clifford.
What is her name?
What is the family's name?
I finally don't,
Karen?
Is it Rebecca?
No, it's in that family, but no. Emily Elizabeth Howard.
Wow. Three Emily Elizabeth. Right. Oh, it's a triple firsty.
It is?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so this animal has three names. It's Spirit, Horsey, and Swiftwind. Chris.
How do you know what?
This is, well, you'll know how I know. This is the horse of Princess Adora, a.k.a. She-Ra.
Yes.
Oh, so the horses change their names too.
Yeah.
The horses and the tiger. Yes, all the everybody changes their names.
So you don't recognize the other giant, green tiger walking around, right? Yeah. Right.
Do you think that's the same tiger?
No. It has a helmet on. It has a helmet on. It can't be.
These are the same people who are like, think Prince Adam is He-Man? No, He-Man doesn't have a shirt on.
He wears pants, too. Okay. How about Raja?
Oh.
Karen.
Is this Princess Jasmine?
Yes, her tiger.
Oh, yes. There you go.
From Aladdin.
What about Brain? Chris.
It's Penny from Inspector Gadget.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to guess Brain. Pinky. And I was like, oh, that
doesn't
that
have shit. A human.
Nope. Not there, no, that is not a pet master relationship. Yeah.
I don't know.
How about Spunky? Spunky. Chris.
I'm okay. I think it's Punky Brewster.
Now her dog was Brandon.
Was Spunky. Oh, yes. Okay. All right. Okay. I've Chris, come all the way Chris. Back around. All now right, I know it. Go. Spunky is, as I should have known in the first place, the ever so slightly off name of Rocco from Rocco's Modern Life.
Yes. Yes. How about Appa? A-P-P-A. This is not a real animal. Okay. Like, not an earth animal, we'll say.
All right.
That exists.
Okay. Space.
But it's definitely
a pet.
Okay.
Fantasy.
Karen.
Is this, an Avatar?
But yes.
Which one?
Oh, gosh.
Airbender. Is he Airbender?
Is
anybody watch it?
I have heard of it.
It's good.
You guys have to watch this show. It's so good. Aang.
Aang Airbender. Mm-hmm.
And Appa, his sky bison. They ride him the whole show. All right, last one. This one has two pets. One is named Pupcake, and the other one is named Custard. Karen.
Strawberry Shortcake.
That's right.
I had the toy. Custard was the cat.
Yes, Custard the cat and Pupcake the dog.
Pupcake.
Pupcake wasn't originally her dog. It was a different character's dog. And then when they rebooted her, she got to have Pupcake. Yeah, she took it. I was like, ooh. It is a better name than Custard, I agree, but that's kind of mean to take someone else's dog because they have a better pun.
Yeah.
Good job, y'all.
And we have one more segment. Colin, giving it to you on the double.
All right, on the double. I've got a quiz for you all about business partnerships. Many of America's and the world's most famous companies, businesses are often result of mergers or partners who will give their names to the company, their initials, things of that nature. So every question I will give you revolves around a two-ish, two-name, two-person, two-founder, two-group question or answer. So get your buzzers ready.
I like these.
And... the answer to the answer to every question will be the name of a company here, okay? One of many companies that came to prominence during the Great Depression. This was the first company to use plastic in a children's toy with the Buzzy Bee introduced in 1950. Okay, I think we're going to go with Dana on that one. What do you got?
Fisher-Price?
It is Fisher Price. That's right. That's right. Taking the name from Herman Fisher, Irving Price, and his wife, Margaret Evans Price.
They're so synonymous with toys. I forget that their name is not doesn't mean toys. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, but it's actually people's names.
All right, moving along. This high-end fashion house dates to 1985. Though it wasn't until 1991 that they became really internationally famous after they began a collaboration with Madonna. Karen, what do you got for us?
Dolce and Gabbana.
That's right, Dolce and Gabbana. Domenico Dolce, Stefano Gabbana. Karen, I know you're also a fan of the movie Romeo and Juliet. They designed the costumes for that movie. Did you know
that? Oh, yes.
All right, so we'll stick with high-end lifestyles here. This high-end department store chain was established by a brother and sister core in Dallas, Texas in 1907 after the founders passed on investing in Coca-Cola. Karen.
Neiman Marcus.
That is correct. That's right. Nice. Neiman Marcus. Yeah. Definitely an older chain than I guessed before I started researching them. Herbert Marcus Sr., his sister Carrie Marcus Neiman and her husband, A.L. Neiman. They had been kind of successful on their own, you know, in a firm that they had in Atlanta, Georgia, and were looking basically for someplace to invest a lot of their money.
And they said no to Coke?
One of the pitches they had was Coca-Cola. And apparently they decided decided they did not want to take a chance on a quote sugary soda pop business that was kind of unknown at the time.
Oh my God.
And so they passed on that and they moved back to Dallas, I guess where they were from, and opened up, their own retail business. And Texas, I think, still has this reputation, but especially in 1907, it was a little more, rough and tumble, but still with a lot of money out there. And they really were quite successful on the idea of buying expensive goods in New York and other places and bringing them to Texas and selling them to the very wealthy big oil families. And this company was once America's premier wilderness and outdoors outfitter, catering to high-profile clients ranging from Theodore Roosevelt to Ernest Hemingway. Today, however, you are probably more likely to associate them with logo t-shirts and sexy models. A couple buzzes there. Dana, what do you got?
Is it Abercrombie and Fitch?
It is Abercrombie and Fitch. Yeah, it's really the transformation over the history of this company is really something. Yeah, they date back to 1892 in New York, and they were founded by David Abercrombie. Really founded as a high level, I am catering to rich men, mostly rich people, going out to do outdoorsy, woodsy, hunter expedition type things. Yep, absolutely. The company supplied Admiral Byrd's expedition to Antarctica. I mean, among many other things. Yeah, really known for their high end weapons, outdoor snowshoes, anything that you would need to go kind of tackle the outdoors. Yeah, and this is kind of funny. Again, I read there was a wealthy customer of theirs named Ezra Fitch. And I don't know if you guys remember the old like Remington Shaver commercials where it was like, I liked it so much, I bought the company. And it was kind of one of those scenarios where Ezra Fitch started buying up interest in the company, in Abercrombie's company. He loved it so much, eventually became the outright owner and took it into kind of the next generation. Yeah. The company has had for sure some ups and downs over the years, the late 70s, 80s. They had kind of just moved to a point where they were selling just expensive, useless stuff. Like I read that at one point they were selling a $18,000 gold and onyx chess set, which is not necessarily something that you need when you're on a, expedition. Wow. Yeah. So
don't need on an expedition, Cullen. <Yeah. laughs>
I had no idea. Oh my God. Teddy Roosevelt.
Oh yeah. I mean, you can go back. There's a lot of really good old ads and, just things that you can find from their history. This company was created in 1852 by two of the founders of American Express, frustrated that their East Coast business partners were unwilling to expand services to California. Oh. Karen with a I've got a guess look on her face.
Wells Fargo.
Absolutely correct. You got it. That's right. Henry Wells and William Fargo were basically the core of the investing group that started American Express and doing, money transfers, early banking services, and along with John Warren Butterfield. They saw, because of the gold rush, just this boom happening in California, and they're like, these people need mail. These people need money. These people need services out there. They could not convince their fellow board members to basically extend their operations. And so Wells and Fargo are like, all right, we're going to go do this on our own. And so they did, while still maintaining their roles with American Express. So I really had no idea how intertwined those two companies were in the early days. Yeah.
American Express. I didn't realize it was such an old company. Did they deliver mail?
Yeah, that's right. American Express started in 1850. as an express mail service. They started in upstate New York and in Buffalo.
My God.
All right, here we go. Ramping up maybe a little bit here in the difficulty, but I have faith in you guys. Trumpeter and songwriter Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass co-founded what famous independent record label in 1962? Released albums, everyone from The Police to Carole King to Sheryl Crow, more than 30. Herb Alpert.
Two names.
Are they two names?
Co-founded.
Alpert.
They were one of the most successful, as I say, independent record labels for good over 30 years. They are today ultimately owned by Universal Music. You will still see their imprint, Something and Something.
Oh, is it A&M Records?
Yes, yeah. That's right. Yeah, Herb Alpert. All right, last one. This company was founded by two German immigrants in 1853 in Rochester, New York. Initially a small craft shop manufacturing monocles. I'll give you a hint.
I don't need a hint.
Okay. Karen doesn't even need a hint.
Bausch & Lomb.
Ah, Karen! Bausch & Lomb. My hint was going to be, if you or someone you know wears contact lenses, I guarantee you have seen this name. Yeah, Bausch & Lomb. They, to this day, one of the largest manufacturers of contact lenses in the world. It's very charming to me to imagine these two German immigrants, John Bausch, Henry Lomb, manufacturing monocles in their little, you know, kind of bespoke shop. But they also benefited greatly over their history from a lot of military contracts. It's really fascinating.
Oh, sure. Gun sights?
Gun sights, optics, binoculars, range finding equipment, just lenses, on and on. Ray-Bans, Ray-Bans, the famous, those were invented for, pilots. This is interesting. I read that one of their first kind of non-monocle-based products was glasses frames made out of a particular type of rubber, vulcanite rubber. And they started making a killing in these when there was a blockade on gold and like horn and shell during the Civil War. So they're like, they were uniquely positioned to kind of just ramp up really quickly, making a whole bunch of stuff for the army. Yeah, it's really, really fascinating history.
Just put two monocles together. There you go.
Yeah, exactly. I like to think that that's what was keeping them from making glasses. It's like, well,
the frame.
We know how to make the lenses, but we can't stick them together yet. Maybe someday we'll come up with the technology.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good job, guys. Well done.
Nice.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
All right. Well, it seems like that is our show.
Whoa. Karen. You've forgotten something. Have you forgotten that we're currently floating through space in our fartus?
That's what that smell is.
but it didn't hear it though, did you? Our old nemesis, Carmen Sanmateo, was still out there in outer space, so we're tracking her through the galaxies, through the universe, playing Where the Heck in Space is Carmen Sanmateo. Her henchperson, DD Convict, is also out there somewhere. They stole our trivia prize, now approximately 100 episodes ago this happened. I don't have time to recap all this, but just go back and listen to the other episodes. But at the end of our last episode, we asked you to help us puzzle out their last known location. And the clues that we had were, it was a moon in the Milky Way somewhere, named after, quote, a lady in a play. And the other two clues were daughter of Hermione and mother of Lucky. Now, and we didn't know, we had to ask you guys for help. Now, the first two seem pretty straightforward. As it turns out, although most of the moons that are in our solar system are named after mythological figures, like the planets, there is one exception, and those are the moons of Uranus. Uranus, I guess they call it now. And the moons of that planet are largely named after characters from the plays of Sir William Shakespeare. Now, reference to Hermione may have had some of you barking up the wrong tree for a while, because of course in the Harry Potter play, there is Hermione has a daughter named Rose.
Rose.
But no, if you were going down that road, it was nothing but a dead end. No, we were looking for the Shakespeare play. The Winter's Tale, in which the character Hermione in that play has a daughter, and that daughter's name is Perdita, P-E-R-D-I-T-A, Perdita. And as a final confirmation, Perdita is indeed also the mother of Lucky, if we are talking about the Disney film 101 Dalmatians. Yeah. So Perdita, that's a moon of Uranus, and that is the moon to which we are traveling. Perdita is an interesting case. Photos of it were first taken by the Voyager 2 space probe in 1986, but a researcher didn't actually notice it on the photos and ID it as a potential moon until 1999. And I think that's why it maybe got the name Perdita, which comes from the Latin for
lost.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's head on over. Seems like we're getting a little closer to home with each thing we travel to. Yep. Upon arriving in the orbit of Perdita, we discover on our view screen another spacefaring vessel that's out there, getting closer to our ship. This one is in the shape, an exact color of a pink 1957 Chevy Bel Air convertible.
We're getting close to DD Convict.
We you know, I don't know. We reach out for a transmission. It begins to send us a transmission from I guess the CB radio that's inside this thing. And here's what we hear.
Hi, Gumshoes. Yep, it's me, DD Convict. You probably know me because of Grease. Not the movie Grease, and not the country Grease, the substance Grease. I covered myself in it to slip through the bars of my prison cell. Only this stuff's not really coming off. Space travel may have been a bad idea. As it turns out, being in a zero-gravity environment when you're lubed up like a pig at a county fair is not an optimal combination. Anyway, I don't have your trivia prize anymore. I guess you could say it slipped through my fingers. Because it literally slipped through my fingers. Carmen's got it for herself. She said she wanted to go get her kicks on a dwarf planet that could support life, had a lot of pebbles, and was full of lucky charms. I don't know. Meanwhile, I'm off in search of a planet whose surface is covered in at least 75% palm olive. 'Cause I'm hopelessly encoded in goo. I still got it.
You know what's amazing? DD Convict has got not only the right pitch, but also the right New York-ish accent.
Yeah.
Nondescript New York-ish accent.
Uncanny.
At first, I thought it was DD Con. I'll be honest. And then I was like, no, was no. Be,
oh, but... oh, I see.
Wow. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Dwarf planet.
Yeah. Yep. Get her kicks. Mm-hmm. There's
pebbles.
Lucky charm.
I don't know. I'm lost, you guys. I listened to the whole thing and I have no idea.
Well, we need your help, listeners. Help us find where to go next. Go to our site. You can find the farthest on top and you can punch in the passcode for our next location and help us find our trivia prize. And that's our show. Thank you guys for joining me and thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. 222 episodes, 222. We hope you learned stuff about double letters in the beginning of the words, animal and humanoid pals, about companies, and about reduplicated place names. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and on all podcast apps, and on our website, goodjobbrain.com. This podcast is part of the Airwave Media Podcast Network. Visit airwavemedia.com to listen and subscribe to other shows like The Sit Down, a mafia history podcast, The Accidental Creative, and the Projection Booth podcast. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.